Well, part two of what we started a couple of weeks ago, amen? And we talked about, y'all remember Be On Guard? Y'all remember that? Be On Guard. I mean, that thing was so good. I mean, I told somebody, I said, man, Pastor, we're just enjoying that word. And I said, I was enjoying preaching it too. And it just got to be so good that we decided that, you know, we need to do a part two. Amen? We're continuing on our theme, our vision quest, discovering the vision, the dream that God has for each of us. Amen? How many of you know that God dreams dreams, big dreams for his children? Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Well, if you would stand with me, if you would stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to go back into the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're just going to read a few verses here in your hearing. Everybody, if you would, stand as we read God's word. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. Boy, don't you wish these guys would just go somewhere? Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. Right? They should tell you something's wrong. Plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? I want to talk about dream killers, part two. Father God, we bless your name. We thank you for being so good, for considering that we were worth it, for coming and making the sacrifice. Now, God, we pray that you will speak to us that which we need to hear and understand today. Anoint our ears that we may hear, our eyes that we may see, and our minds that we might understand. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We told you a couple weeks ago that we have an enemy. Amen? We have an enemy in this world, and that enemy is not your spouse, is not your sibling, it's not your neighbor, your boss, or your supervisor. Your enemy is not Al-Qaeda or ISIS, but our common enemy, public enemy number one, is none other than the devil himself. Amen? Bible tells us that our adversary, somebody say our adversary. Our adversary, that's our enemy, right? He walks about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion. Now I'm going to ask y'all to help me with this sound just a little bit. If you could just give me a little more, just a little more. Because my voice needs some help, and I plan to preach this word today. Amen? So I need you all to pray for me. But the word tells us that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. He walks about seeking. Isn't that interesting? People say, you know, you've heard it said that the devil is living somewhere inside the earth. Y'all heard that? You know, stoking the flames of hell. People say that kind of stuff. You know, he's somewhere in the earth. But the Bible says that he walks about. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. The truth is that the devil is not in the earth. The devil is on top of the earth, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. He is looking for his next victim. He is public enemy number one. And every child of God needs to be on guard. Somebody say, be on guard. The devil is out to steal your dream. He's out to destroy your future and ruin your potential, young person. He is a dream killer. God has a master plan. God has a purpose. God has a destiny for you and for me. And it is his plan, the devil's plan, to ruin and to destroy that dream, senior saint. That's the reason why when God created the Garden of Eden, watch this now, and put the first man and the first woman in that garden, he gave them very specific instructions. He said to them in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, write it down, I want you to do two things. I want you to dress it and to keep it. You might miss that, But those are two different Hebrew words. The first Hebrew word for dress is the Hebrew word abad. Everybody say abad. Means to dress. That word means to labor, to work. God put them in the garden. He said, I want you to work this thing. I want you to tend it. I want you to take care of it. Amen? And then God says, I want you also to keep it. That's another Hebrew word, shamar. And that word shamar, to keep, that is translated to keep, means literally to put a hedge around it. I want you to protect it. I want you to watch over it. I want you to guard it. Well, why in the world was that important? Why would God tell them that they need to guard the garden? Well, you only guard something if somebody's trying to take it from you. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 15, before there was sin, God put them in the garden, says, I want you to dress it, work it, and I want you to keep it. I want you to guard it. I want you to protect it because somebody, see, God understood that the dream killer was loose. God knew that very soon the devil would try and snatch this dream from Adam and Eve. And so God said to them, be on guard. So I want to continue our conversation today about dream killers, because it is one thing to dream. It's another thing altogether to make that dream a reality. First of all, you got to understand, church, that there are three stages to a dream. I want to lay this foundation here today. Three stages to a dream. The first stage, you want to write this down, is where you conceive of it. This is the conception stage. This is where you come into agreement with God about something that is not yet evident in your life. Something that you only dream about, but you come into agreement with God. You understand that this is something that God wants for your life. And when you line up in agreement with God, when you understand that this is something he wants, that's the conception stage. Matter of fact, if you look at Luke chapter 1, I believe it is, and verse 26, the Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor. Somebody say favor. Favor with God. We talked about favor the last time. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. I'm not married. How's that going to happen? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also, that thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I'm talking about God dreaming for us. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, watch this now. I'm talking about the conception of a dream. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel left her. In other words, Mary said, okay, God, my body belongs to you. If you want to birth something in me, God, do what you want to do because I am yours. She came into agreement with God, and now she was pregnant with God's vision. A dream was born. She was in agreement. So first of all, we conceive, amen, when we come into agreement with God. When we hear the word of God preached, then we understand what God is calling us to do, even though it might not make sense in that moment. When you agree with God, a dream is born. First, we conceive. The second stage of a dream is that we perceive. First, we conceive, and then we do what, everybody? We perceive. Perception is not just seeing with the naked eye, but it is seeing, it is understanding with the mind and the heart. This stage is where we understand what God is trying to do. We get the big picture. Amen? We get the big picture. The angel said to Mary, the child you will have will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. He will sit upon the throne of David. He will be the Savior of the world. Mary understood the significance and the importance of what God was about to do in her life. I want to let you know that whatever dream God has placed on your heart is bigger than yourself. Whatever God is attempting to work out in your life, He wants to touch the world through you. Come on, say amen. Thirdly, so first of all, we conceive. Second, we perceive. And third, we achieve. We do what, everybody? We achieve. This is where the dream becomes a reality. God accomplishes in, through, and with us what He purposed to do at the beginning. Now, here's what you and I need to understand today. And this is what I want to talk about. Somewhere between conceiving and achieving, the devil shows up. Somewhere between our conception and our reality, the devil shows up and he tries to cause a miscarriage, an abortion, or an untimely death to that dream. He tries to kill that dream before it can accomplish what God has purposed for it to do. If you look at the life of Mary, you see that very same thing. As she was pregnant with child, the emperor says, you need to go to a different place where we can count you, where you can register for the census. And Mary had to travel for months to get to Bethlehem in order to register with the state. You see, it was not about the census. That's what it was in the natural. But in the spiritual, what the devil was trying to do was to cause a miscarriage. And then after the child was born, what did Herod try to do? He tried to destroy the child before the child could grow up and fulfill the purpose for which God has ordained. And let me tell you today that the devil does the same thing with you and me. Between conception and reality, he tries to cause a miscarriage or an abortion of our dream. I want to put you on notice today that the devil has a strategy. He has a plan. 2 weeks ago, we began to unpack this strategy. We talked about persecution and jealousy. Did y'all remember that? Just recapping, for those of you who may not have been here 2 weeks ago, we want to get you up to speed. We talked about persecution and jealousy, how the devil will, once you begin to do something positive or to move in the direction that God is calling you to do, you're going to have some haters. Everybody say haters. You have some haters. They're folk who are going to hate you just because they're not you. Amen? But if you're not prepared to handle the haters, don't ask God for a dream or for a vision. Because dreams and visions attract haters. Are y'all with me today? The second thing we talked about was procrastination. Y'all remember that? But we told you that our God is a God who moves in time and on time. Come on, say amen. We got to get with God's program. And then we talked, number three, about apathy or laziness. It's another dream killer. We can't be afraid to work if we're going to bring our dreams to reality. Come on, say amen. Now, I want to point out today a few more of these dream killers that we need to guard against. And we see Nehemiah here in Nehemiah chapter 6 grappling with these dream killers. And the first one I want to talk about is criticism. Criticism. Criticism is one of those things that will kill a dream dead. Here in Nehemiah chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8, we read about Sanballat and his servant. The Bible says, Sanballat sent his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time. Talk about persistence. Sanballat is persistent. And let me say this to you all. The devil is persistent in attacking the children of God. He never, ever gives up. And that's why you and I have always got to be on guard. Five times, Sanballat and his friend sent to Nehemiah trying to get him down from the wall, trying to stop this project, trying to stop this vision. So he sends to him five times. This time, the fifth time, he sends to him with an open letter in his hand. He wants to embarrass Nehemiah. He wants to make sure other folk know so they can discourage the man. And the Bible says this is what was written in the letter. It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu says it, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, for which cause you build the wall. that you may be their king according to these words. And you have also appointed prophets to preach of you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as you are saying, but you are making it up in your own heart. Do you see that? Being critical of the man of God. Not only was Tobiah critical, but he was outright lying on Nehemiah, really trying his best he could to get this man in trouble. You see, dreams always encounter criticism. It doesn't matter what you want to do or what you want to accomplish with your life or for God, dreams are a magnet for criticism, and people will always judge and misread your motives. David showed up at the army base to take some food for his brothers who were in a war with the Philistines. And while David was there, the giant Goliath came out, and he was challenging the people of God, cussing and swearing against the people of God. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And finally, the word got to his brothers. Your little brother is talking big stuff over here. And Eliab came to David and said, David, man, what you doing away from my father's sheep? David, you are a shepherd boy. David, we know you're mischievous, and you're always looking to see where you can come in on some of the action. You need to go back and tend to our father's sheep. David said, wait a minute, Eliab. Can I not just ask a question? Is there not a cause? David was being criticized. David had caught the vision. He recognized that somebody needed to stop this giant. But instead of being angry against the giant, Eliab was angry with his little brother. It's interesting. People get frustrated when they can't realize their own dreams and they turn on others who are trying to do something positive. David had caught the vision. He understood the significance of this moment, that this was an embarrassment to God. And so David said, there's a cause. There's something bigger going on here. We need to take care of it. Some of the worst critics are people close to us. Even in the church. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how many people know what the pastor's job is. They know better than the pastor what needs to happen. Pastor says we ought to go right. Somebody say, no, pastor, we ought to go left. Pastor said, well, we ought to go left. Somebody said, no, pastor, we ought to go right. Pastor said, we ought to do it this way. Somebody said, no, pastor, we never did it that way before. Somebody calls those words, we never did it that way before, the seven last words of a dying church. For some people, it doesn't matter what you say. They're going to disagree with you because they think they know better until they got to do it. Well, I ran into an old elder not too long ago, and he had left the church where I was pastoring and was an elder, became the head elder of another church in another city. And he came back to visit our church one weekend, and he said to me, Pastor Ross, he said, man, I have so much respect for you and for what you do. And for all pastors, I mean, I said, why? What has happened? What has brought about this change? He said, man, because the pastor of my church has just left. He's transitioned to another church, and now they've asked me to be the interim pastor until they find another pastor. And the saints are beating my head, and now I have respect. I said, oh, talk to me about it. Tell me more. I love it. See, let me tell y'all something. You can't pay me for what I do. You can't. You can't pay me enough, or you can't pay me for what I do. I do what I do because Jehovah laid this on me. Nobody in their right minds wake up one morning and say, I volunteer to be a prophet. I volunteer to be a preacher. No. As a matter of fact, most of the time, that's why you find preachers, you find Jonah, you find Jeremiah, you find others running. God says, I want you to go here. And we said, no, God, I'm going over here. Nobody volunteers for this.
God has laid it on me. So you need to understand, I'm here because he's called me. I'm here because he's put this thing on my heart. I'm here because I recognize that this is the way that God wants me to work out my salvation. Are y'all with me today? But you got to watch it for critics, amen? Especially those who are not doing anything about the giants in the land. When you try to do something positive, you will encounter criticism, amen? But if you've caught the big picture, if you understand what this dream is all about and where God is leading you, you can say like Nehemiah, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Amen? Watch out for criticism. The second thing that the devil will use, another dream killer, is fear and discouragement. Look again at chapter 6 and look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, for they all made us what? They all made us what? Afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Look again at verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be what? Afraid. Look again at verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in what? Fear. You see how many times Nehemiah talks about fear? Fear is a big weapon that the enemy uses against us. Devil loves to use this one. Sanballat and Tobiah came and started making threats, made up stories, all in an attempt to cast Nehemiah in a bad light so that he would succumb to fear. What they wanted Nehemiah to do was to stop doing what God had called him to do. Fear causes paralysis. In the jungle, all the lion has to do is roar. And when he roars, the animals become paralyzed with fear. And then they become an easy prey. That's how the lions catch their prey. And the devil is no different. That's why he's called a roaring lion. He uses fear most effectively to paralyze us. Many dreams are aborted because of fear. Fear paralyzes. Fear keeps us from moving forward. Some of us are stuck right now somewhere between the conception, the idea, and the reality. Between what we know we ought to be doing and what God has called us to do. And somewhere in there we are stuck because of fear. We fear the loss of a job. We fear losing income. We fear losing a relationship. We fear what's new, what's different. We fear failure, and some of us even fear success itself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, write the passage down. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, the word of God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to talk about those three things just a little bit. He said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power comes from the word dunamis. Somebody said dunamis. From this word dunamis in the Greek, we get the word dynamite. God says, child of God, I've given you dynamite power. Whenever dynamite comes in contact with something, it does not stay the same. So God says, when your life comes in contact with other people, you ought to make a difference. Whenever your life comes in contact with something else, it ought to make a difference. You ought to leave the world a better place because you're in it. I've given you power. Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every child of God, no child of God ought to walk around here hanging your head like you don't have power. Come on, say amen. God says, I've given you power. Not only that, but I've given you love. Love. If you want to know what the antithesis and the antidote for fear is, it is not courage. The opposite of fear is not courage, it is love. John says it. He says, perfect love cast it out fear. That's how you handle it. I heard stories of people, and you have too, who do amazing things. A mother will jump in front of a train, an oncoming train, to save her child. A father will lift up a car to get somebody, get his child from under it. People will do amazing things, supernatural things. And you ask them, you see them on television, you say, well, why did you do that? Or where did you get the strength to do that? Or why did you go into that burning building? Well, I wasn't thinking, it was just my child was there. My friend was there. Somebody I loved, somebody I cared about. And that love overcame the fear. Perfect love casted out fear and enabled you to overcome circumstances. And then not only that, but he said a sound mind. I've given you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind, that means discipline and self-control. God wants us to think and to use our minds when we find ourselves in a tight place. Amen? Beware of letting your emotions take over. The devil is always trying to get us stirred up about stuff we no longer think straight. So he confuses us with half-truths and even outright lies. Nehemiah said to Sanballat and Tobiah, you're making this stuff up. You're lying. Sometimes we got to call the devil what he is, a liar. Come on, say amen. Somebody says that fear, the word F-E-A-R, spells false evidence appearing real. The devil is a liar and the father of it. The only way to combat the lies of the devil is with the word of God. Come on, say amen. You got to be able to say, when the devil comes to you and he says, you'll never make it, you've got to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the devil comes to you and he says, you messed up again, throw in the towel, give up the fight. And there's some of us who are feeling like that today. You've got to be able to say to the devil, a righteous man, falleth seven times. But what makes him righteous is not how many times he falls, but it's how many times he gets back up. You've got to be able to say, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Yeah, he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the final thing I want to talk about quickly here, there's another dream killer, is the unwillingness to change. Oh, this is a big one. It's a big one. Why were these people fighting so hard against what Nehemiah was trying to do? Change. Whenever their enemies saw progress on the wall, you read it in chapter 4 and verse 1, and again in chapter 6 and verse 1, whenever there was progress, whenever the people of God started moving forward, they were attacked. Opposition increases as progress was being made. People resist change. People are more content to leave things the way they are, but as soon as changes are being made, there is resistance. And what I find interesting, and what is ironic, is that Christians, we, the people of God, have a problem with change. That is ironic. Because you see, the Christian Life Church is all about change. It is all about change. God calls us to change. We are a work in progress. The Bible says we were saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. We are a work in progress. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But I'm afraid that many Christians have rewritten this verse to read something like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is an old creation. New things have passed away. Behold, all things have become old. Anybody who stops changing stops growing. And the only thing in this world that is not changing is 6 feet under. Now, the real barrier to change in our lives is this thing called pride. Yeah, the Word of God says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I just want to put somebody on notice today that as you begin to make progress, opposition will come. Realize and recognize that your resistance to change, or my resistance to change, is a dream killer. Amen? The moment we begin to make progress, there's going to be some opposition. Amen? I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play because I'm getting ready to wrap this thing up. Because somebody today is dealing with opposition. But here's the thing, y'all. On yesterday, I was in the gym pumping some iron. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The pastor pumping some iron. Come on, say amen. I'm trying. You know, I got some goals. Before we get to the, in a few weeks' time, we're all going to meet and we're going to talk about, I'm going to have you all to set some goals. See, we're going somewhere with this thing. See, I'm going to ask you all for some commitments as a church, amen, and as individuals. Because in the next five years, where do you want to be? What story are you going to be talking about? What's your dream? What are you working on? Are y'all with me? See? Now, understand that if you want to build muscle, if you want to have some change in your life, there's going to be some resistance. You got to have resistance. You can't build. Are y'all with me today? You can't build muscle unless you put some resistance on your body. So you're in something right now, and there's resistance going on. There's opposition going on because God is trying to build your spiritual muscle. So stop complaining about it. God is working on you. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. In the pursuit of a dream, there's going to be some opposition. Opposition is going to increase. It comes with the territory. And I don't know today what your dream is. It might be related to your marriage, might be related to your relationships, your family, your career, your health, your walk with God. It's related to your devotional life. You've got a dream. You see something better for yourself, something better for your family, something better in your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're starting over your life, rebuilding your future today. And that's what you're doing. You've conceived it. You perceive it. And you're working towards achieving it. You're moving in the right direction. But the more progress you make, the more resistance and opposition you're facing. You're catching it from every angle and every side. You're being beat upon today. And you feel like David in Psalms, the 55th division, when David said, I wish I had the wings of a dove that I might fly away and be at rest. Anybody feel like that today? I wish I had the wings of a dove. You're catching it from every side. You just wish that you had the wings of a dove, David said. David got so low in his life that he wanted to be like a dove. David understood now. He understood that God had not called him to be like a dove, but God had called him to be an eagle. That's why David said, I wish, I know who I am, but I wish that I had the wings of a dove that I might fly away and be at rest. Oh, you can get to a place where you feel so beat up that you wish you could just fly away, because that's what doves do. When trouble comes in a storm, they fly away. But God has not called us to be doves. He's called us to be eagles.
You see, doves will fly away from the storm, but eagles will fly above the storm. Glory to God. Eagles will fly through the storm, and they'll fly above the storm. God has not called you to be a dove. He's called you to be an eagle. Maybe like the song says, some of us have been in the storm too long. Problem may be that you've been battling the storm all by yourself. But you've got to learn, like Isaiah said, to wait on the Lord. Because he says, if you wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. And he will cause you to mount up. To mount up. To mount up. To mount up with wings like eagles. I want to say to somebody today, it's time to spread your wings and to mount up. Because if you just wait on the Lord, if you just wait on the Lord, if you just wait on him, you're going to catch that second wind. You're going to catch that second wind. He will cause you to mount up above the storm. He will cause you to ride on the storm. God can do it if you just trust him. If you just wait in prayer, if you spend time in his word, if you stay on his knees, if you work, if you press on, he can do it. He can take you to new heights and new levels if you just humble yourself. As they begin to play today, the God we serve is able. He is able. Somebody say he's able to do exceedingly above and beyond what we can ask, think, or desire. We don't have to be afraid of change. It's a part of the process that God uses to get you and I where we need to be. Come on, say amen. Don't be afraid of the weapons of the enemy, because the word says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The same God who placed that dream on your heart for that job, that new invention, that creation, that business, that book, that song, that relationship, the same God who placed that dream on your heart is able to bring it to fulfillment. God is not a God who starts something that he can't finish. He's going to do it for you. He will not do it. He will not. Let me put it this way. He will not do it for you. He will do it in you. He will do it through you, and he will do it with you. But he will not do it for you. You and I have got to make ourselves available to him. Come on, say amen. And when we do, we will discover that there's nothing too hard for our God to do. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed right now. As they're playing, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. God, we just want to pause and just say thank you. Thank you for dreaming for us. Thank you for doing for us what you did for Mary, what you did for Joseph, what you did for Moses, what you did for David, what you did for Nehemiah. You placed a dream on their hearts. And we know, God, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have not changed. You're a God who still dreams big dreams for your children. And God, we've been put on notice, just like Adam and Eve. We've been put on notice today that we've got to guard. We've got to protect these dreams. We've got to watch out for these things, because the dream killer is loose. So God, be the hedge around our dreams. Be the hedge around our souls. Be the hedge today around our families. Be the hedge, God, around our careers. Be the hedge, God, around our future. Be the hedge around our thoughts, dear God. Just be the hedge around this church. God, we need those wings like eagles. So many of us are in the storm right now. We're battling through. Maybe we walked into this house today and we were just about to give up. We were just about to throw in the towel. We barely made it here today. God, give us that second wind. Oh, God, cause us today to mount up.
Help us to realize, God, that you're working it out. It's a part of the process. Give us that humble spirit, God, that we may submit to what you are doing. And then I want to open up the doors of this church right now. Somebody today just want to say yes. Yes to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask my elders to just join me down front. The doors of the church are now open. Somebody want to say yes. I accept God's dream for my life. And I want to be a part of God's last day church. I want to be a part of God's remnant church. I want to join this church through baptism, through transfer of membership, through profession of faith. I want to be a part of God's people. I want to be a part of God's dream here. If that's you, all you need to do is just raise your hand wherever you are. Just raise your hand. I want to be a part. I'm not a member of a church. Or maybe I used to belong and I want to come back. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else, raise your hand. Somebody else, saying yes, I want to be a part of. I'm going to invite you to come. Would you come? Would you stand and come? Let the congregation, would you all show him some love and encouragement, everybody? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's welcome him. Welcome him. Welcome him.
Prosper.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It won't work.
Bless you.
No.
Somebody else. Want to say yes.
Formed against
me. Want to say yes. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody else.
Prosper.
Want to give it over to God. Wants to turn it over to God. Wants for God to have his way in your life.
God
to bring his dream, his plan to fruition. I call you in the name of Jesus. Somebody else.
He will stand.
Want to say yes. Yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to the one who thought that you were worth it. Worth dying
God
for.
God will do.
Somebody else.
What he said.
Say yes.
He's gonna do. He's not a
somebody
man.
Somebody else. This is your moment. Don't let it pass you by. Don't leave here the same way you came. Jesus died on the cross because he thought you were worth it.
Formed against me.
He died on the cross to let you know that he's already broken the weapons. He's already broken those things that the enemy wants to hurl
it
at you.
Won't work.
But the only way you're protected is as you are in Christ Jesus. Every
formed
weapon that is directed against you, he is able to break it.
Prosper.
You got to surrender. You got to step into that relationship with him today.
It won't work.
Step into that relationship. The way you do it is by simply saying yes. Choosing Jesus Christ.
What he said,
somebody else want to say yes today. Somebody else. Want to begin today a new page, turn a new corner in your life with Jesus Christ. I call you right now. Somebody else. Relationship with Jesus. Want to be a part of his body, his church. Even when we're finished with this appeal today, you did not raise your hand. You didn't come down front. Please see me at the door. See one of our elders. Let us know what your desire is. We want to honor that. Amen. But I ask you to bow your heads once again in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the victory because we know we already have it in Jesus. We thank you for this brother who's courageous enough to take a stand, to walk down front, to stand before the congregation. God, we pray that you will continue to pour out your blessing upon his life, to give him increase of faith, an increase of courage, an increase of love for you. Surround him with your angels. Surround him with your grace. Oh God, we pray. And then God, we pray for that man or woman, boy or girl who should be down front here, but for some reason or another, they're still sitting out there. May your spirit, God, continue to just wrestle with them. Give them no rest or peace until they surrender to you. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen, amen.
He will come through. God will do what he said he's gonna do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Happy Sabbath. We have coming to us this morning Byron Redd. He is making a stand to rededicate his life and desires membership by profession of faith here at Ephesus, and he's accepted Christ as his personal Savior.
Amen. Put our hands together and show him some love, everybody. Amen. We praise God for you, Byron. I just want to encourage you. Amen. And let you know that, yes, we have an enemy out there, but we have one who's already won the victory for you. Amen. 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 Stay faithful to Christ. We're going to, our prayer, Elder Watley, our prayer team, we're going to invite you to Elder Gardner. Would you follow Elder Gardner? She's going to lead the way to the room at the back, and they're going to have prayer with you there as well. Amen. Can we say amen, everybody? Amen. 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 We praise God for him. And again, there are others of you who are thinking about this. You need to see us at the door. Also, we want to remind you, those of you who are looking for a Thanksgiving basket, either for yourself or for a family member or a friend or somebody that you know is in need, please get one of the forms from our ushers. Fill those out and be sure that you turn it in to Sister Jane Hood or Elder Willamette Watley. For those who may be even visiting with us, Sister Hood, would you raise your hands? All right. What about Elder Watley? Is Elder Watley here? They may be in attendance at the funeral. All right. All right. Just turn them back into the ushers then, and they'll get them to Sister Hood or Ella Watley. God bless you.
Amen. Before we stand for benediction, I'd like to curate daily forward.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
As you know, this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. And today is a very special day for our beloved pastor. Would you come forward, Pastor Ross? We would like to wish Pastor Ross, today is his birthday. We'd like to wish him a happy birthday. Can we sing happy birthday to you, Pastor Ross?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor. Happy birthday to you.
And on behalf of Ephesus Church, we would like to present you with this beautiful fruit basket. Can you hold it? We're going to invite you to come up and stand beside him, our First Lady, Sister Pamela Ross.
Amen. Amen.
On this special day, Pastor, and every day, may God's love and blessing be upon you, and may he give you continued grace, peace, and wisdom as you minister to this congregation and to others. Before you're seated, we'd like to ask Chaplain Brooks to join us here.
All right.
This month is, you can move around so they can see your face. This month is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and we have collected cards from the members of Ephesus Church. Mrs. Sellers, would you present the box of cards to Pastor Ross and to Chaplain Brooks? And as you, once you get home tonight and you open these boxes and you start reading these cards, we pray that they will inspire you and let you know that you are loved by the members of Ephesus Church. Thank you.